Welcome to the Prophet University audio series. Here are your hosts, Bill Kennard and Tom Grandy.
Welcome to the Prophet University audio series presentation. I'm Bill Kennard, along with our company's founder, Tom Grandy. This month's program is titled, How Not to Get Buried on Page 2 of Google by Lorraine Ball. Tom, every business with a website is on Google as well. And everyone wants to show up on page 1 of a zillion possible pages. This month's speaker makes a great opening statement. That is, the best place to hide a dead body is on the second page of Google, because no one ever looks there. Showing up on page 1 is not just going to happen by itself. And most web designers don't really understand the process of making it happen either. It's up to you to do the research on your own in order to make this happen. Tom, that's what this program is all about. It's SEO, search engine optimization.
That's right, Bill. Lorraine properly states that SEO is not a one-and-done situation. It's an ongoing activity. One of the great tips in her presentation was not to test your page position on your office computer because of the way Google handles information. You may very well show up on page 1 in your office while being farther down the list in other areas of the community. The solution? Check out your position with other computers in different geographic areas of your community.
Well, Tom, yeah, that's interesting. She also shared one other eye-opening statistic. Lorraine says that 90% of local searches on cell phones lead to action. Cell phone searchers are not in the browsing mode. They're in the buying mode. And 70% of them act within an hour. Again, all the more reason to do everything you can to show up on page 1 of Google. Well, Lorraine is a frequent presenter for the Prophet University audio series. She has previously presented 4 other sessions, each of which is well worth listening to. Lorraine and her team at RoundPeg provide web design, graphic design, and content marketing, always backed by solid marketing strategies. And now, with How Not to Get Buried on page 2 of Google, here's Lorraine Ball with this month's Prophet University audio series presentation.
Someone once told me that the best place to hide a dead body is on page 2 of Google, because nobody ever looks there. In today's conversation, we're going to talk about how you can avoid being lost among the dead bodies. We're going to talk about search engine optimization, SEO, both basics and some more advanced techniques for some of you who have already got a running start. But let's start with some really basic facts. The first is that there are between 40 and 60 billion, that's billion with a B, searches every single month on Google.com in the United States. And so as you're trying to claw your way to the top of the page, there's a lot of search going on and a lot of people competing for the top spot. You have to remember that Google is, at the core, an advertising platform. Yes, it's a search tool and it's a great resource for all of us, but they make their money selling advertising. And so what they want when someone does a Google search, they want to be able to show their ads, and because only about 10% of people will click on the ads, they want to serve up good information that is relevant and interesting so that people will keep coming back over and over to Google, because they know that sooner or later, while most of the time you go to the organic information, every now and then you're going to click on one of those ads. And they also know that if the information that you find on Google isn't worthwhile and isn't valuable, sooner or later you're going to turn to another search engine. That's what happened to AskJeeves.com and some of the other early search engines. The results got so cluttered with bad content that people stopped using the tools. And so by creating rules that drive the very best content to the top, Google is actually protecting their investment. The next thing that you need to know about Google is that they are smart. Their search spiders take advantage of a lot of artificial intelligence, and the rules that they use to evaluate content have been refined and refined and refined. In addition to the spiders and the machines reading web content, there's an army of human beings that are double-checking as well. And so trying to game the system, stuff a lot of keywords in a page in a way that really isn't useful information will backfire. Not only won't you rank for the word that you want to rank on, but your entire website may be scored as spammy and never show up. You can game the system for a little while and it'll drive traffic, but it won't drive sales. Because if you don't have good information on your website, information that answers the questions that customers are looking for, it doesn't matter where you rank, you're not going to get the traffic. And because Google is focused on the total customer experience, beyond just the keywords, they will evaluate your site on criteria such as whether or not it's fast. If the pages don't load quickly, you're going to get a lower score. If your website is more than a few years old and it's not mobile responsive, you're going to get a lower score and you're going to hurt your chances of showing up when people go looking on Google for companies like yours. And finally, it's important to remember that SEO is a marathon, not a sprint. You cannot SEO a website and walk away for a year. That's not how it works. SEO is an ongoing activity because you're going to make changes to your website and your competitors are going to make changes to theirs. You need to continually be tweaking and adding new information and giving search engines and human beings new reasons to come back time and time again. So as we're looking at SEO and kind of the rules for SEO, I sort of break it down into what I call the R's. Are you paying attention? And R is in quotes, because you need to be paying attention to research, realistic targets, real estate, relevant content, relationships, and revenue, not rankings. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to talk about each of these different R's, and I'm going to start with research. In order to have a website that is an effective website that ranks well when a search engine looks at it, it is important that you start by thinking like your customer. That you have to look at the world not based on how you would talk about it, but how your average customer would talk about it. Think about the steps that they go through when they're buying. Think about the questions that they're asking and how they might ask them if they were searching for a company like yours. So, for example, a few years ago, people might have gone to Google and typed in furnace plus repair. But that's not how people search now. Now, a lot of times they're using voice command or they're typing whole sentences. Who repairs furnaces near me? How can I get my furnace fixed? Affordable furnace repair. They're going to type in lots of different words. And you really want to start by making a long list of all the possible words. And then one of the best things to do is to actually ask Google, which of these words are better? And the way that you do that is by using the Google Keyword Planning Tool. You go to Google and you search for the Keyword Planning Tool. Now you have to have AdWords, an AdWords account, in order to use the Keyword Planning Tool. You don't actually have to be advertising on Google, but you have to create an account. So go ahead and do that. And then type in the words that you think customers are using. And Google will actually crank out a list of all the alternatives that have been searched recently in your area. You want to look for words that have high search volume. And sometimes you may see a phrase or a word that you never thought of. I did this once when I was looking for words for our website, and I typed in marketing and marketing strategy and marketing tips. And one of the phrases that came back that really had a lot of search volume that I never would have thought of was marketing ideas. It was a great phrase, and I incorporated it into some of the content on my website. When you do the research, Google is going to show you a wide variety of words, and it's going to tell you how often the word was searched in the last month, both globally and locally. And you really want to be paying attention to local. The other thing that you want to do is look at what people are already interested in on your website. I call this looking for clues in your content. Look in your analytics and figure out which pages got lots of traffic. We were working with a heating and air conditioning contractor in Maryland, and one of their most popular pages was a blog post entitled, "How Do Whole House Humidifiers Work?" And once we saw all the traffic going to that page, we knew that we needed to write other informative articles around the same subject, comparing a desktop humidifier to a whole house humidifier, talking about different brands of humidifiers, talking about dehumidifiers and what's the difference between a humidifier and a dehumidifier. And every one of those blog posts helped support the first one, but it also added just lots of new information on the website that was related to a keyword that they were already ranking on. You should do the same for your website. You need to be realistic when you're thinking about SEO. You have to pick a battle you can win. Go ahead and type in Google any word or phrase and look at how many results come back for furnaces or air conditioners or even air conditionings Denver or furnaces Detroit, which is a fairly narrow search. You may still see 100,000 different responses come up. So you need to be realistic. You need to look at who you're competing against and be honest. Do you deserve to be number one? Now, I'm not making a value judgment about your business. I'm asking you, from the perspective of a search engine, does the content on your website actually justify you being in the first position? Do you have interesting and original information, or does your website simply look like all the other websites in your community and say essentially the same thing? There's several different ways that you can improve your chances. For example, the first is picking a narrower segment. Now, we do this on our website. I can't necessarily win for the term web design, but in my market, I can compete for WordPress web design. So in your market, instead of trying to win in, let's say, Indianapolis furnace repair, you might try Indianapolis Lennox furnace repair or Indianapolis carrier air conditioning service. So by narrowing the phrasing a little bit, you're not going to attract as many people, but the people that are specifically looking for that are going to find you. You can use geography or phrases to kind of narrow down your topic. You also want to figure out where you are now. A word of caution, if you search for your industry from your computer in your office, you're likely to come up in a top position because Google is doing some geographic targeting based on your DNS record, just based on where your internet service is. So you definitely want to try doing that same search halfway across town from somebody else's computer and see if you still come up. That can be time-consuming and tedious, and so to short-circuit it, there are a lot of tools out there that will tell you where you rank. And usually the tools will allow you to do a quick test for free, and then after that, they want you to pay a fee to continue to monitor your website. We've used SERPs.com, RankWatch, Website Grader, and right now we're looking at CocaLize. If you're interested, you can either reach out to me or simply do a quick search on Google for the question, how do I find out my website rank? And you'll get a lot of different sites that you can look at to figure out where you are. Try to find a tool that lets you compare your site to one of your competitors. And once you know where you are, you know which phrases or words you need to focus on to improve your search position. The next thing that I mentioned in, and the next R is real estate, which in this case really refers to local search. Let's face it, if you've got a company in Detroit, you are not going to fly to Denver to do a furnace repair. So you really don't care what people in Denver think if you only care about local search. And what we know about specifically local search is that 75% of consumers who use their phone to get real-time location-based information. We know that 90% of mobile searches lead to action. So if somebody's on their phone and they're looking for information and they find you, it's not because they're in browsing mode, it's because they're in buying mode. And 70% of people who ran a local search typically acted within an hour. And so all of this points to the fact that you need to be looking at your website from a local perspective and a mobile. How does your website look on a phone? How does your website look on a tablet? And you want to monitor your local position. When you do a search on Google, you know how that map comes up? Well, where do you appear? And how do you move up on the map? Well, part of it is you've got to have good information on your website that talks about the communities that you service. Now, if you're like a lot of companies, you're in a suburb of a large metropolitan area, and maybe there are five different cities all surrounding you. What a lot of contractors try to do is they try to kind of list all five cities on one page. The problem is that Google doesn't know how to rank you. Instead, what you need to be thinking about is creating one page for each of those cities. And you can't just replicate the information, copying the same content and just swapping out the name of the city. That doesn't work. And so what we typically recommend is that you add a blog to your website where you can add additional information and do little case studies or customer stories or customer profiles in each area. So for example, you might talk about three furnaces that you installed in a neighborhood in Westfield, Indiana. And then the next day you might write about the fact that Indianapolis winters are hard on all of us. And then you might write another blog post, and in that one you talk about spring rains in Carmel, Indiana. The article is really about the information, but you use the different geographic locations and you tag those individual cities. And then at the bottom of the article, you may say that Bob's Heating and Air has service trucks in Carmel, Indiana every single day. And on another page, it says, be sure to schedule your service calls in Westfield, Indiana with our office. You need to have that mixture of content or Google is not going to know where you are. At the end of the day, they are going to tag your business based on your geographic location based on your actual address. And so if you're serving a bunch of different areas, but you're located way out in the boonies, that's going to be a challenge because Google is not necessarily going to understand that you drive into all of those communities. You may want to consider getting addresses in those areas, whether it's, and it can't be a post office box, but it can be a mailbox at like one of those UPS stores in some of those other cities. So you can create a page for each of those locations. You want to get listed in a lot of different places. And one of the things you want to do is you want to search Google for your company name and look at where you show up. Are you in the yellow pages online? Are you in the white pages? Do you show up in directories? And if you do, is the information accurate? You want to claim the listings and you want to submit changes in case there is something that's not accurate. And then go back and search all of your competitors. Do exactly the same thing over again and see if they show up in directories that you're not listed in. If they do, go ahead and submit your company. Make sure you submit complete information, your hours of operation, payment options, business description, special services. And then optimize again your website for local. Use references in your titles and your meta descriptions. Clearly define your business category and encourage people to write reviews. The next R is relevance. And in this situation, what you're doing is you are using the keywords that you know are important throughout your website. And it's not enough to just stuff them into the page. The keywords have to appear naturally in the content, but they should also appear in page titles and meta descriptions. And let me explain what a meta description is. When you do a search on Google, you see the page title, and then underneath it, there's a short description. That's kind of a snippet of the page. Different website tools will allow you to write custom meta descriptions. And whether you do it yourself or you have your web developer do it, every single page on your website must have a unique title and a unique meta description. A lot of times we see websites that have been designed where the information being transmitted to Google is exactly the same title for every page. Round Peg, Web Design, Indianapolis, Content Marketing. I got 4,000 pages of content on my website. I do not want 4,000 pages of information going to Google with exactly the same page title because Google will think, well, those are all the same page. So I have a page that says Web Design, Indianapolis, and another page that says WordPress, Indianapolis. And when I say I have 4,000 pages of content, I've got about 15 pages on my website and 3,900 blog posts. You want to use your keywords in headers and subheads on your page. You want to use it in image titles and descriptions too. When you're thinking about your page titles, you want to keep them to about 6 or 8 words. If you go longer than that, there's a chance it's going to get truncated, and when people look online, they won't see the last word. And the content on the page has to match the page title. You should always use your keywords up front. So if you want a score for furnace repair, Denver, it should say Denver Furnace Repair or Furnace Repair Denver, and then you might do a call today in your company name or a phone number in your company name. With the meta description, you have about 160 characters. Again, this is that text that appears underneath the blue clickable link in a search engine result page. And it should contain the keywords that you want the page to rank for. Because this is how you tell people who are browsing online and search engines what an individual page is about. You have to write for search engines and people. Sometimes I see web designers who try to game the system by stuffing a bunch of keywords in there, and the problem is that may be okay for the search engine, but human beings look at it and say, well, that looks like a bunch of garbage. I'm not going to go there. And they go on to the next listing. In addition to your page titles and your meta description, you want to make sure that your permalink is search engine friendly and human friendly. So what's a permalink? Well, if your address for your website is joesfurnacecompany.com, every page on your website will be joesfurnacecompany.com/about, joesfurnacecompany.com/products/services, whatever. So the permalink is that suffix, whatever comes after the .com. If possible, you want to use the keyword or phrase in the permalink. So instead of joesfurnacecompany.com/products, you might want to say joesfurnacecompany.com/furnaces or /air conditioners, because that's more relevant and more meaningful than products. Don't ever use the and symbol, question marks, or exclamation points in your permalink. Use hyphens between words. Do not use underscore. So if you want to do furnace AC, don't do furnace and AC. Don't do furnace underscore AC. Do furnace dash AC. And avoid using capital letters because everything is lowercase on your permalink. When it comes to the actual content on your website, write naturally and write often. You should be, in a perfect world, writing 4 blog posts a month. And I know I can hear the groans all the way through the world as I say that. But you need to, because if you're not, your competitors are. And if you're wondering what the content should be, write about your employees, write about community service, write about individual products and new products that you're carrying. Your content should be about 500 words, and that's really not that much. When you were in school and your teacher told you to write a 2-page paper, that's 500 words. You want to mix up the language and use synonyms and related phrases. So a good blog post might talk about 5 things to do to keep your furnace running all year long. Then later in the article, instead of saying furnace again, you might say, be sure to check the filters on your heating system. So kind of synonyms and mix it up a little bit. And if you're looking for a perfect ratio, you want between 1 and 3% keyword density. Now, what does that mean? If there are 500 words on the page, you don't want to use your keyword more than about really 5 or 6 times, because if you do, it becomes really repetitive. You want to add headers to break up the page, and it's okay to use your keyword once or twice in the headers as well. Headers help search engines figure out what's important on the page, and it also helps readers as they skim. And don't forget your pictures. Images are content too. Something like all of 63% of image searches actually result in clicks and web traffic. And 27% of all searches are image. So every time you upload a picture onto your website, make sure the file name is not JPEG1, because nobody knows what JPEG1 is. It should be furnace, or even janitrol furnace, or janitrol model X, whatever, or carrier air conditioner model, whatever. Relevant names because when people are searching, the pictures are as likely to come up as a text link. When it comes to the internet, you are judged by the company you keep. And so I want to talk about relationships and reputation. In the old days of the internet, links were really important. Everybody was sharing links on all sorts of sites, and Google got smart and discovered that you could buy links, and they stopped valuing them as much as they used to. But there is still value in your links. So it is not about quantity, it is about quality. If you are a member of the local chamber of commerce, if you are certified by an organization, you want to have information on the Chamber of Commerce site that links to you and you link to the chamber. Same thing with your certifications and organizations that you belong to. Your reputation online is measured in some extent by the associations. When you're creating inbound links, there is a trick called piggybacking. And you take advantage of it by posting content on high traffic and high authority sites. So for example, if you have a video and you put it on YouTube, make sure there's a link in the description of the video that links back to your website. If you publish a press release on PR Web, again, link back to your website. And you want to have some internal links going from related pages. We're working with a plumber, and we did a series of articles about sump pumps. The first one is just why a sump pump is important, how to check and make sure it's working. And then there was another one because he was selling a product that basically it was a wireless device that sent a signal if the sump pump wasn't working correctly. And at the bottom of the first article, we had a note that said, if you'd like to know more about advanced technology in sump pumps, click here. And then in the Wi-Fi article, there was a link back to the basics. Those kind of internal links help, again, as the spiders are indexing and crawling your site to find related content. We have covered a ton of information in this conversation. The key things that I want you to keep in mind when you're trying to improve your SEO is that this is not a game. You can't win SEO by trying to game the system. You win the battle for page one by continually updating your website and adding new, interesting, relevant content, and then taking the time every time you add information to your website to make sure that the pages are titled correctly, that you've written a compelling meta description, that you've used an appropriate permalink, that you've done all the technical stuff, but that's only going to pay off if you add new content on a regular basis. And at the end of the day, the thing, the last R and the thing that you really need to remember is that it is about revenue, not rankings. It's great if you're on page one and people are coming to your website, but if they get to your website and they are disappointed when they arrive, there isn't good information, there isn't an easy way to get in touch with you, there's no way to sign up for your newsletter, there's no way to get their questions answered. If your website disappoints them when they arrive, they will leave. You will not generate revenue if you do not create a good experience when someone arrives. So definitely keep that priority in mind, that at the end of the day, it's not about page one. It's about how many people come to your website and then how many people fill out your contact form or pick up the telephone and call you. You can do this. If you pay attention to all the different R's, you can increase the amount of organic traffic coming to your website, and you can win the battle and avoid being buried with the dead bodies on page 2 of Google.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Please feel free to give us a call at 877-202-8891. The vision of Grandy & Associates is quite simple. We teach companies how to run profitable businesses. For more information on how we do that, check out our website at www.grandyassociates.com or give us a call at 1-877-202-8891. Profit University Audio Series is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-877-202-8891. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.